Amen. It's wonderful to sing. It will take a lifetime and eternity to figure out what that means. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That's part of what church is for, that we discover what it means that we are a new creation. What are the things that have passed away and what are the things that have become new? All things. Yeah. Wow. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Mark chapter 9. And we'll read verses 14 through 29. Mark chapter 9 and verses 14 through 29. It says, "And when he came," Jesus, "came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought to you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples so they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' He said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown them both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, 'To a deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast him out?'" Isn't that a good question? Isn't that a question we a lot of times have? Well, the Bible talks about healing, and the preacher said, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Why did it not happen the way it's supposed to happen? So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So depending on which Bible translation you have, maybe some of you are looking at your verses and you're trying to find that Jesus said this one can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Maybe your Bible translation doesn't say it. You know, there are some Bible translations that are translated from different manuscripts. Believe me, it should be in there. You have people like, this is not interesting to 99% of you, but 1% will really like this. You know, you have people like disciples of Peter and co-workers of Paul. You know, Paul mentions Clement in the Bible, and there was a co-worker of Paul. He was a disciple of Peter. And we have him 90 AD, you know, about 60 years after Jesus died on the cross. We have him quoting the scripture. And he said, you know, the Lord said that there are certain types of demons, they can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting, all right? So we have people, church fathers, they're quoting the scripture, all right? So if your scripture has a little footnote, or these are not found in the best manuscripts or something, well, okay. We just need to decide who we believe, scientists from the 21st century or people that actually learned under Peter who was there that day, all right? So we just have to make up our mind, and I made up my mind. Jesus said this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. But you know, there are these people, they come to Jesus, and or Jesus comes to these people that are discussing with the disciples. And Jesus said, okay, well, what's it about? And, you know, the scribes, you know, they come, well, you know, this guy to Jesus and, you know, to your disciples. And they tried to cast the demon out, but they couldn't. And what's the first thing Jesus said? The first thing Jesus said is, "Oh, you faithless generation." That's the first thing he said. He said, how long am I supposed to be with you? In other words, Jesus said, you know, he expected something that should have already been there that was not. See, there are a lot of people, especially when you're a pastor, you know, people come to you and they say, well, you know, you can't be so hard on people, you know, they just don't know. Sometimes people don't know. You know, we don't know everything, and sometimes there are things we just don't know. We expect people to know, but they don't know, right? And then people do something, and then as a pastor, you go, oh, man, how can they do that? And then others just go, oh, they just don't know. True. But, you know, sometimes there were also, Jesus sometimes said, well, but you should know. You know, sometimes Jesus says, okay, you don't know, okay, but you should know. You know, that this should have been there by now, and it's not, and that's not right either. And Jesus, you know, he looked at them, and he said, oh, you faithless generation. He said, you're lacking faith. So the first thing I want to look at this here is the main problem here was a faith problem. This is the main problem that we see here. It's a faith problem. It's that, oh, and I will not use any water to make any kind of illustration here. I just need some. It's a new thing. Guest speakers like to throw around water. But Jesus encouraged the Father. You know, he said, you faithless generation. And then he told the Father, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All right? So first of all, Jesus tells his disciples, oh, man, you should have had that faith by now. And then he turns to the Father and he said, just believe. You know, you need to have faith. So the first thing we see here, the main problem was a faith problem. That's how Jesus addressed it publicly. He said, you have a faith problem here, and the disciples should have known how to do it, because two chapters earlier, three, he sends them out and gives them authority to heal the sick and to cast out demons, and they did. All right, so they already knew how that works. They already walked in that authority. They already knew it's the will of God, so they should have known. And that's, you know, what Jesus tells them. He said, where is your faith here? And then he turns around and then he tells that guy, he says, hey, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So the main problem here was a faith problem, right? That's the first thing I want to show you here. But then, you know, when the disciples asked him privately and they said, hey, why didn't this work? You know, can you give us any details? He said, yeah, you know, this one can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And these are some of these verses that some people take and they build whole ministries on it. They build whole doctrines on it. You know, Jesus said this one can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And they take this and they try to use this to justify all the things that you need to do in order to be free. They start this doctrine that, well, there are some demons that you can cast out. Some demons you have to pray and fast. Oh, and there are other demons you have to first clean out your house. There are other demons first you have to throw everything away that you have, otherwise they don't come out. You know, and they use these scriptures and they build all kinds of stuff on it that you need to do now to be free. And when you don't experience the freedom that you should experience in your life, they try to look into your life and try to find all the things that you still need to do in order to be free. Because they took these scriptures, something Jesus said, and they took it out of context, they took it out of proportions, trying to make it something it doesn't say. So the first thing that's important to me is Jesus, first and foremost, makes it a faith problem. Because I don't know if you noticed, Jesus did not fast or pray when he cast out the demon. And the Bible says that we are a new creation in Christ. We are in him. We have the same authority. We have the authority that is in the name of Jesus. We are supposed to do the same works that he did. So if Jesus was able to cast them out right then and there, without fasting and prayer, If we have the same name, the same authority, we are supposed to do the same works and greater works. Do we now have to fast and pray in order to cast that out, in order to take authority over that demon? What does he mean when he says that? Because Jesus didn't do it. You know, he tells people, well, the only way this one comes out is by prayer and fasting, which Jesus did not do. And first of all, he told people, well, you're lacking in your faith. You have a faith problem. So isn't that interesting? And then one of the other things, you know, how many of you know that Jesus saved you from sin? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're glad. Jesus saves us from sin. Do you know who saves us from false doctrine? Captain Context. He is one of my favorite superheroes. Every time somebody twists the scriptures or teaches something wrong in the Bible, Captain Context comes along to the rescue. Because what we need to do is we need to look at the context. We need to look at what happens here. And when we started reading our verses, it says in verse 14, when he came to the disciples, where did Jesus come from? He came from the mountain. Jesus was just on the mountain and spent some time there. And Jesus spent a considerable amount of time on mountains. He just loved to withdraw and be with his Father, have fellowship with his Father. Sometimes it says he prayed the whole night. And be there with him and have fellowship with God. And we see this, you know, this great, you know, he was transfigured on the mount. You know, this time he took Peter, James, and John with him. And they had a tremendous time. Because when Jesus was praying, suddenly he started to hear the voice of God. He had Moses and Elijah showing up and talking to him. And so he got direction and he was talking strategy with his Father. And his Father said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And he got confirmation, and he just had the most awesomest time he could have in the presence of his Father. It was wonderful. So they were up there for a while, and then Jesus came down, and he was the one who was able to cast that demon out like that. I want to submit to you, Jesus was not talking about all the things you need to do now to get rid of that one demon. He was talking about your relationship with God. Amen. He was talking about how is your relationship with God? How are you doing? How is your prayer life? How is your fasting? Because what that means, what fasting means, it means you neglect something you want for the sake of God. That's what fasting means. The definition of fasting is you neglect something that you desire and that you want to build your relationship with God. That's what fasting is. And that can be food, and that can be TV, and that can be your cell phone. It's not going to get any better. All these things that are standing between you and God somehow. When you feel this thing on the inside of you, you know what? I should open my... See, even the stage doesn't like what I'm saying. It's this thing of, you know, the thing you just know on the inside. God just wants you to spend time with him a little bit, you know, read your Bible, pray. But your favorite TV show is on. Well, you can record that one. Just record your favorite TV show and just watch it some other time. Okay, that's even worse. You know you have it sitting there recorded. You just came home from work and you just want to watch that. Alex, how do you know that so well? I'm not going to tell you, but believe me, I know. And then you get this tug on your heart like, hey, how about we spend some time together before you do that? It's going, oh, no. I just want to, and then you just try to justify it in your head, just like you when you buy a too expensive car or shoes or whatever. You know, you just try to justify it in your head. Well, the Lord is always with me. It's not about what I'm doing, you know, it's about what Jesus has done for me, so he loves me. Jesus told his disciples, rest a while, That's okay. But you know, you try to justify it in your head, and all the father did was tug on your heart, just go, hey, how about we spend some time together? And that is what fasting is. That's actually what fasting is. If you decide not to watch that show right now and spend time with God, you are fasting. And I believe this is what Jesus talked about, because he didn't do it. Jesus didn't do it. And he told the disciples, well, if you had faith, you could have done it. And then afterwards, he gives them little details. Well, I want to submit, my point today is, Jesus was not talking about all the things you need to do to get success in this area of your life. All he wanted you to do was to neglect some things that you want and just take that time or money to get away with him and have fellowship with him. And open your Bible, have a close connection, a close relationship with him. And then when you come from his presence and that demon sticks up his ugly head, well, you just know whose presence you've been in. You know who's your father. You know, that's the thing that happens on Sunday morning when you're here and we sing, we're a new creation in Christ, and you're so excited and so happy. And sometimes you ask yourself, where is that on a Wednesday night? Well, the reason is you just spent time in his presence. You came to him. You made yourself aware of him. You were confessing his word. And it does something in you. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, you know what? Instead of taking all that time to do the stuff that you want because I just need to relax, if you just take a little bit of that time and just spend it with Jesus, and just open your Bible and spend time with him and fellowship with him, then all these things would be there. I believe there is a level of authority that you can only walk in through an intimate relationship with God. I believe that these two go together. There is a level of authority that only comes with an intimate, very close relationship with God. Now, he loves you. He's always in you. We are saved by grace and not by works. But hey, if you want to know him, if you want to have a close relationship with him, you have to lay aside some of the things that you want to do. Okay, I'm going to, right, because that goes for me too. I'm just going to sit here really quick and go like, if you want to have a good relationship with God, sometimes you need to lay aside the things that you want to do and just open your Bible and have prayer and fellowship with God. Amen, Alex. Praise the Lord. That's good. I need that too, kind of. But man, there are some good TV shows out there, I tell you. And now you don't even have to wait for them to come out. You know, I keep telling my kids, I said, can you imagine that we had to wait a week for another episode to come out of these TV shows? And now you can't just binge watch them. You just keep watching your stuff. And God goes like, hello. He just goes like, just a second. You know, I just want to know what happens to Mary, you know. But I just want to leave you with this question. You know, what is there in your life? And you will hate this, but it's so, you know it's true. That you don't even have to check your heart, you just know. What is there in your life that you should neglect? That you should set aside just to spend a little more time with him? Just to fellowship more with him? What is this thing where you know it kind of keeps you from having a good relationship with him? And that could be two things. It could be a time thing that God knows that, or that you know there are some things I need to not do, and I need to take that time and spend it with God. And then there are other things. Yes, you spend time with God, but if right after you spend time with God, you start to watch one of the most horrible things on TV and fill your ear with some of the most horrible music that you can imagine, well, that kind of destroys the whole purpose too. I mean, you can't go to God and listen to his words, and my sheep hear my voice, and then you go and you listen to the ugliest lyrics, the most profane and ungodly things that are ever out there, and then somehow expect to walk in the authority in the name of Jesus. And then, you know, when something happens, oh, one quick prayer fixes it. You know, that's not the way it works. You know, so it can be one of these two things. For some, it's quality time with God. And for others, it's just there are some things you just need to neglect. You just need to stop doing. Why? Because it keeps you away from walking in God, from living the life that Jesus wants you to live. And all of us have them. That's the nice thing about being part of a church. You just know all of us have that. This was a message for all of us. It's not, oh, he's just looking at me. He's just preaching to me. Now, that's the cool thing. All of us have something, and all of us need a reminder that there is something that keeps us away from God, spending time with God, or walking with God. And we just need to make sure that we know what it is. We say, Lord, I want to change that. And you know what? This week you will change that. And it will work today, and it will work tomorrow, and probably Tuesday or Wednesday, you will make a mistake. And God is there for you. I mean, that's the wonderful thing. He will forgive you, and he is there for you. He's not up there throwing lightning bolts at you. But then when you do that, just remember this word. Hey, there are some to live a life of fasting means that you're willing to neglect the things you want to do for God's sake because your Father said so. And then you will walk in the level of authority and we will see things and experience things that we've never seen before. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's praise him before we I went a little over time, but it was good. But you know, let's praise him. He is good. And he is the one that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We want to please him with our lives, and he's the one who works in us, gives us the power, gives us the strength, gives us the desire. And that's something we can be really thankful for. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you're here today and you are not a new creation, what does that mean? Oh, that takes a while, but it starts with this. Jesus said you must be born again.
Amen.
He said you must get a new life. When Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again, he taught us something. He taught us that our condition was so bad that it was unfixable. He couldn't fix us. He had to take our old life and give us a completely new one. And that is what the Bible talks about when it says we're a new creation. He is the one who died on the cross to take your sins away. The Bible says your sin are making a separation between you and God. And there is no way you can break through that separation in your own strength. It's impossible. That's why God became a man. And that's why he took your sins. He took your punishment on the cross and he rose again and he said you can have the exact same thing. Your old man dies, your new man is born again. It's a new creation alive unto God. And that is what God offers you today. So if that's you, you've never made that decision, never made that step. What do I need to do? Well, you don't have to fast. What you need to do is you need to come to him in faith and say, Lord, I believe that you did that for me. That's what you need to do. The Bible says it's by faith. It's a gift. It's that easy. It's a gift. He gives you something and you take it and that's it. And this is something that he wants you to do today. So if that's you, you know, in a moment we'll close the service. We'll have a team up here. We would love to do that with you. If you're here and you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Good question. You know, if you would like to know more, just come up. We would love to show you in the Bible what that means. And if there's anything else, a prayer request, God answers prayer in the name of Jesus. So if that's you, you know, we'll have a team up here that would love to minister to you. Other than that, have a great week. We have WordFest on Fridays, and if you can't make it to WordFest, see you next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.